Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The scripture reading is the text for this morning's meditation. Dear friends in Christ Jesus. The Holy Scriptures consistently proclaim a God who loves all peoples of the earth. No one is excluded from his offer of grace, and that's why Peter in our text could say, "Truly I perceive that God shows no partiality." And this has been true from the very beginning. Did you ever notice that in the book of Genesis, where it describes the origin of the human race, all people descend from one man and one woman, and the Jews, chosen of God to be his people, are the descendants of Adam and Eve. But so also are their enemies, the Egyptians, the Canaanites, the Moabites. As God is one, so the human race is also from one source, and no one people is inherently better than another, not even those people specially chosen by God. But what does distinguish the Israelites is God's call to be his people, and then their response of faith and obedience, or their lack of it. And the invitation of God, and our response, or lack of it, is also what distinguishes us as Christians. Now, God equally loves all nations and peoples, but not all respond to his offer of grace. There are many who have chosen to simply stay outside of the everlasting arms of the Almighty. But be that as it may, the God of Scripture still claims rule over all people, not only the few who believe in him. Psalm 24 says, "The earth is the Lord's and those who dwell therein." There's Isaiah's prophetic vision of nations who shall come to the house of the Lord, and many people shall come. And Jesus said, "Preach the gospel to every creature." So our Lord is concerned with the many as well as the few. And this is also the message of the gospel of the cross. Jesus Christ died for many and the few. Remember, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, given for many, for the remission of sin. In Titus 2:11, we're told, "God, our Savior, has appeared for the salvation of all people." John the Baptist identified Jesus as the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. That's why Peter could say, "Jesus Christ is Lord of all, not just the shepherd of the few." He will rather leave the 99 to go seek the one that is lost. God truly loves the whole human race, truly shows no partiality. Now, it took Peter a long time to get to this point. In fact, it took a vision from God. Maybe three visions, or at least one vision in three parts. Peter was on his housetop in prayer, and the vision from the Lord appeared to him. And three times this sheet came down from heaven. And finally God sternly said to him, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." And then he instructed Peter to accept the invitation to Cornelius' house, and Cornelius was a Gentile. And it was there that he spoke the words of our text. Now, what does all of this say to us? Many things, I'm sure. But this morning, I simply want to emphasize one. This week, a critical and an important era in the life of our church body comes to a close. The men who lay aside the mantle of leadership at the end of this week are those who, under God, and in the power of His Word stop the drift of our church body toward theological indifference and returned us to the path of a traditional confessionalism, something which God has not been able to accomplish in any major church body in recent church history. And now we are at the threshold of a new era in the life of our church body. And I suggest that we have an important role to play. We, as theological students, as instructors of theology, and I suggest that our role be one that continues to emphasize the importance of our traditional confessional position based on the Word of God, but that we add to that an emphasis which has not received attention which it deserves in recent years, namely to preach the gospel to every creature, to make disciples of all nations, the unfinished task of the church. After all, 3/4 of our world is without Christ. 3 billion people here in the United States. Over half, it's estimated, do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, we as Christians and we as churchmen have a twofold task. We are, first of all, to nurture those whom the Lord has given us. But secondly, we are to nurture them in such a way that they become channels and instruments through whom the gospel is shared with their neighbors so that they become disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we're always more than just preservers of the Word. We're more than just teachers of the truth. We are also to be users of that truth so that the gospel may be spread and others brought into the kingdom. It took a lot to get Peter in motion. A special vision led him finally to the house of Cornelius in order to make a disciple of him. This final thought, it was the burden of the unsaved that made St. Paul a task theologian, committed to the task of bringing the gospel to the Gentiles for the purpose of making them members of his kingdom. And this is also our burden. We may not receive visions today, but I suggest that every time you attend the Lord's table, as you do today, and you hear the word, "Take, eat, this is my body, this is my blood, given for you." You also hear the word, "For many, for the remission of sins." It's not just for you, it's for many. And there are many out there that have not yet tasted this heavenly food. Amen. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly and preserve your body and soul and spirit blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.